Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 29th of March. I'm Beth.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. And this week we welcome the following new members. They are John Harriman and Margaret Fairlaw. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. And next, we'd like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Aileen Rees and Jean Simmons. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
A Black Country taxi driver pestered and sexually assaulted two terrified sisters during a 9-hour flight across the Atlantic. Jagtar Sandhu, age 54, was sat behind his victims on the flight from Toronto to Manchester and repeatedly asked them if they would budge up so he could watch an in-flight movie with them. He went on to rub one of the women on the thigh and stroke the other on her breast while they were sleeping in August last year. Sandhu of Stanford Road, Blakenhall, Wolverhampton, denied sexual assault and in court accused the women of touching each other inappropriately. That was dismissed as tasteless by a district judge, who found him guilty of the charge following a trial. He will be sentenced at a later date. The sisters, who regularly make the trip from Manchester to Canada to visit their father, were 3 hours into their 3,400-mile flight when Sandhu started pestering them. Manchester Magistrates Court heard he would tap them on the shoulder to get their attention and even asked one of them if they were lesbians. The victims, both in their 20s, were said to be too scared to move and waited until their Toronto flight landed at Manchester Airport, where they told their mother about the attack at the arrivals lounge. The younger sister told the hearing, "Me and my sister were watching TV, and this man peered round and asked my sister what we were watching. Then he asked if he could watch it with us. Because there was a free seat next to us, he kept looking at us and asking us questions. And then he got up and nudged my sister and said, 'Come on, budge up.' We said no and sat down, but he still had his head between the seats. I went to the toilet and came back and my sister was really red and slouched down in her seat. She told me he asked if we were both lesbians. We were alarmed, so we took it in turn to sleep. But when I fell asleep and woke up, next to him, he was rubbing my thigh area. I immediately batted his hand away from me because I didn't realise what was going on. Then he got out his phone and started saying something in another language and said, 'Wait till we're back in Manchester,' which I took as a threat. I thought I was about to die."
A Dudley shopping centre has pulled out of plans to revamp the town centre site due to a lack of dialogue with council bosses. The owner of the Trident Centre said there would be no investment in Dudley. John Sykes, chairman of Atlantis Property, which owns shopping centres up and down the country, said he had been irritated by his requests for meetings with the council chiefs going ignored. However, council bosses have insisted that they were committed to working with the company. The row appears to have scuppered a major revamp of the shopping centre, as well as other buildings on High Street. The renovation of the shopping centre has been included in a council master plan to change the face of the town centre. New shops and leisure attractions were to be added to the centre, while the firm also wanted to create 185 apartments. But Mr. Sykes said he had now decided not to go ahead with the plans due to his frustration with the authority. He said there will be absolutely no building or redevelopment of the Trident Centre while these people are in power. "As an investor, I want to meet and have a dialogue. We were very much for this development. We commissioned an architect and would have been submitting pre-applications, but it has stopped. I have pulled the plug. Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, Dudley Regeneration boss, said, "We have been in regular correspondence with the chief executive of Atlantis Property, the latest being sent to him by our chief executive, Sarah Norman, on Monday evening, to which we have yet to receive a response. We have again confirmed our willingness to meet with him to progress his proposals and look forward to his reply."
McDonald's has returned to Stourbridge and the opening of the new eatery has created 110 new jobs. The development on Millrace Lane, just off the Ring Road, opened its doors for the first time on Wednesday, March the 22nd. McDonald's franchisee, Abdul Sirkot, who started his career more than 35 years ago and now runs 12 restaurants across the West Midlands, is behind the new venture, which will employ 50 full-time and 60 part-time workers. He said, "I am delighted to be opening my 12th restaurant here in Stourbridge. It is fantastic to be able to continue to contribute to the area's economy, and I am looking forward to getting to know all my new employees and customers." The new restaurant features 6 high-tech self-order kiosks, enabling customers to browse the menu, look at nutritional information and personalise their meals, giving people more time to consider their food and drink choices. Table service has also been introduced. Mr. Sirkot said, "Technology has a huge role to play in all walks of life, including our customers' dining experience. So the new tech we will be introducing will help to better recognise the way people live their lives today. Table service will enable our customers to order at the self-order kiosk, sit down in a designated zone and have their meals delivered direct to their tables. We are sure this will be loved by customers, especially those with a pram or young children with them."
Poachers with lurchers, knives and slingshots were caught hunting wild rabbits on the outskirts of Wolverhampton. 4 men who live at Oak Tree Caravan Park in Featherstone were found lamping in nearby land off Dark Lane. They were reported to police after the landowner saw lights in his field shortly before midnight on October the 29th last year. Cannock Magistrates Court heard how the 4 men had been hunting on land with the permission of the owner, but that their route took them through a field belonging to another individual. Mrs. Emma Thompson, prosecuting, said, "The police were called at 11:45 p.m. on October the 29th by the owner of that land. He believed poachers were on his land, and the police later located all 4 men in a field. They were found to have hunting equipment, including knives, 2 lurcher dogs and slingshots. They later made full and frank admissions and said that they had killed numerous rabbits and were unaware their actions were unlawful. Ron Ayers, aged 24, Daniel Davis, 23, Mitchell Davis, 27, and Tony Smith, 20, appeared before magistrates in Cannock, where they pleaded guilty to hunting wild rabbits with a dog without the permission of the landowner. They were each fined £100, told to pay £135 in costs and also £30 victim surcharge. A 5th man, 20-year-old John Howard, had the case against him withdrawn by the prosecution. Mr. John McGregor, defending, said there was nothing untoward with what happens to the rabbits that were killed following such hunts, and that the men planned to eat them. He added, "This is all quite emotive language. They were not in red coats riding horses. All they were doing was lamping. Rabbits are seen as vermin in many instances, and people have to pay others to come to their land and get rid of them," he added. Mr. McGregor told the magistrates he was surprised that the case had ended up in court. He said their family traditions involve fieldcraft. They eat rabbits. It is not as if they throw them away as such. There is a sport and a skill element in what they were doing too. I'm surprised that they have gone looking for convictions.
Prosecutors have received files from West Midlands Police over alleged election spending offences by the Conservative Party. The Crown Prosecution Service has had files from 13 forces, including Staffordshire and now West Midlands, following an investigation into breaches of campaign spending limits during last year's general election. The constituencies investigated have not been revealed, but it is believed that the investigation has centred on seats visited by the Tories' election battle bus. Prosecutors will look at whether campaign spending on the battle bus should have been declared as a local or national expense, and whether this broke electoral spending limits set by the Electoral Commission. The Conservatives, Labour and the Liberal Democrats have been fined in recent months for election spending-related breaches. A CPS spokesman said, "I can confirm that we have had a file from West Midlands Police in respect of the 2015 general election."
Police have confirmed there will be no new investigation into the murder of Stourbridge newspaper boy Carl Bridgewater after calls were made to reopen the case following an explosive TV documentary. There had been calls for Staffordshire Police to consider reopening the investigation following the screening of Channel 4's Interview with a Murderer last June, in which former suspect Bert Spencer spoke candidly to Birmingham City University criminologist Professor David Wilson in the programme about the 1978 shooting at Yew Tree Farm in Wordsley, which remains unsolved. The documentary saw Spencer's former wife, Janet, speaking for the first time on record in 40 years, telling programme makers she believed her former spouse could have been the killer and rejecting his alibi of being at work all day. She said reopening the case into Carl's death was the only course of action now. Spencer's daughter also admitted she thought her father may know more than he's ever let on about what went on that day at Yew Tree Farm off the A449. Spencer himself, a former ambulance officer who spent 15 years in jail for the shotgun killing of friend Hubert Wilkes, also confessed his whereabouts for the day of the murder could not be corroborated, but he insisted he was at work at the time Carl is believed to have been shot, and he has vociferously denied killing the schoolboy. But after carrying out a detailed review of the case, including revisiting forensic evidence, Staffordshire Police have now confirmed there are no new investigative opportunities and as such no new suspects, adding, "Therefore there are no grounds to interview Hubert Spencer at this time." A statement issued by the force said, "Having reviewed the programme alongside the previous investigations and review material, only one new witness has been identified. This person has been interviewed by detectives and cannot offer anything to progress or assist this investigation." Four men, who became known as the Bridgewater Four, were initially tried and found guilty of the murder of Carl, but after almost two decades in prison, their convictions were overturned. Police say there have been 14 separate reviews of the case carried out in the last 39 years, including a number of independent inquiries carried out by other police forces. And a spokesman added, "Unsolved crimes of this nature are never closed, and our victims of crime are never forgotten. Our thoughts are very much with Carl's family, and we continue to offer our support to them."
A crooked cleaner who fleeced a 93-year-old blind man out of up to £250,000 in less than 2 years is facing a lengthy jail sentence. Veronica Robinson, who started work at his Black Country home in August 2013, isolated the wealthy dementia sufferer from friends and family, allowing her to take control of his money. The scheming 61-year-old spent £188,000 of his savings buying a house for herself, while a further £67,000 remains unaccounted for. After being withdrawn in cash from his bank accounts during the 19 months she was employed by him. A jury at Wolverhampton Crown Court unanimously found Robertson guilty of fraud by abuse of position and perverting the course of justice. She has been remanded in custody to be sentenced on April the 21st. Robinson's partner, Robert Homer, a 66-year-old security firm boss from High Hayden Road, Cradley Heath, was acquitted after being found not guilty of both aiding and abetting fraud and false representation. Chris King, principal Dudley Trading Standards officer, who led the investigation into Robertson, said afterwards, "She engineered her way into a position of trust and was effectively controlling the victim's life. She then abused that position by getting as much money out of him as she could." Robinson blocked phone calls to relatives, spread lies about neighbours, fracturing friendship with those who had supported him since the death of his second wife in 2005. The locks on the property were changed. Twice married mother of two, Robinson took him on trips to the bank, as withdrawals from his account soared from £1,000 to almost £6,000 a month, with her writing cheques for him to sign. One of these bought her the house in Beecher Street, Hales Owen, in November 2014. She has since given the house to his family. When Dudley Trading Standards Department took over the case from the police, Mr. King received a typed letter carrying the signature of the blind man, but written by her, which said, "I wish all investigations and complaints to be dropped forthwith."
Marshals brought in to improve the flow of traffic at Wolverhampton Railway Station will remain for another month. The two staff members were introduced to by the City Council in response to problems at the station's new access, which opened in January. In a further move, the Kiss and Ride Zone for those dropping off passengers in a hurry will be renamed the Drop-Off Only Zone to make it clear that no waiting is allowed. The council is also encouraging drivers to take advantage of 20 minutes free parking in the station's multi-storey car park when dropping off or collecting passengers to relieve pressure on the 16 short-stay parking spaces. Councillor John Reynolds, Cabinet Member for City Economy, said the turnaround area at this railway station remains the long-term responsibility of Virgin Trains. And, as part of the interchange project, we are working in partnership with them to ensure it is used properly. The public are still familiarising themselves with the new traffic arrangements, and we are listening to their views and helping make adjustments where we can to improve things while the new system beds in. Therefore, we have decided to keep taxi marshals in place for a further month after the three-week trial came to an end. Marshals were employed in February with the aim of improving both taxi and customer access to the station's turnaround area. They operate from 4 p.m. to midnight, 7 days a week, and are responsible for directing members of the public to Hackney carriages and private hire services, as well as talking to the drivers to help improve traffic flow.
Five men were arrested in Don raids in connection with a series of burglaries across the region. Officers from West Midlands and Staffordshire Police joined forces to simultaneously swoop on a gang in response to 70 crimes across both counties. When the crime spree started in June last year, detectives worked quickly to use CCTV footage, forensic evidence and other information to link a number of offences where factories, stores, charity shops, golf courses and scrap metal dealers were broken into. Around £500,000 is believed to have been stolen from businesses across Dudley, Walsall, Wolverhampton and Wombourne. Detective Inspector Claire Langley from Staffordshire Police led the operation, which involved a total of 40 officers from both forces, and she said, "These raids are the result of a lot of hard work. Officers from both forces have worked tirelessly to piece together all of the facts. The crimes have had a devastating impact on the staff who work at the targeted businesses. They have taken it extremely personally, particularly the volunteers at the charity shops which were raided. Days of valuable trade have been lost, and charity funds which should be supporting the needy have now been diverted into repairing the thousands of pounds worth of damage caused. Police say burglary rates across the West Midlands have been slowly rising since June 2016, despite reductions over the past 15 years. The raids are part of the fight back and saw five men arrested in Wolverhampton on suspicion of conspiracy to burgle. Those arrested were a 22-year-old from Heathtown, a 26-year-old from Bilston, a 26-year-old from Low Hill, a 47-year-old from Willenhall, and a 29-year-old man from Low Hill.
A driver involved in a late-night crash literally ditched his car when he careered into the town centre roadworks. Emergency services arrived to find the abandoned car left in a hole in the road, but no driver to be seen. The dark blue Audi had to be winched by a recovery truck out of the road, where it lay on top of a gas main in Cradley Heath. The high street had been dug up as part of an ongoing gas works in the road, which had caused some consternation. But rather than shopkeepers complaining over the impact of the works on their trade yesterday, many were simply left in bewilderment by what had happened. The occupants of the car had fled the scene, close to the Tesco Extra supermarket, before police officers arrived on Saturday at around 11:30 p.m. Teresa Fields, who runs the Walk-in Wardrobe on High Street, said, "I suppose it puts us on the map again. Cradley Heath is a forgotten place. It has been left. Many shops come and try to pick up the trade, but it's difficult. Then you get this. I mean, it is amazing. I can't work out how they've done that. It certainly caused a stir." The shopkeeper, who has run the shop for 2 years, said many motorists turn round at the part of the road where the crash happened. But she added, "I think in this case it was probably just an idiot." Haydon Cross Fire Station said there had been no gas leaks and that the gas company would be making the barriers secure again. The station tweeted about the incident, including the hashtag, "Worst parking ever." The force tweeted, "Not the usual RTC. This vehicle crashed through the roadworks onto a major gas main. No leaks and car made safe."
As a young boy, the first song he learned on guitar was Peggy Sue by Buddy Holly. And now, 23-year-old Briary Hill musician Sanjay will take on the part of the rock and roll icon in a show touring across the UK. The musical, entitled Buddy Holly and the Cricketers, will visit Stafford's Gatehouse Theatre on Friday, May the 19th. It will also grace stages in locations such as Aberdeen, Barking and Harpenden on its 18-day run. This will be the first time that Sanjay has performed in theatre, and being an artist who usually plays acoustic and alone, he says there's a lot he has to learn. "I've never been in theatre before, other than playing live gigs at theatre venues," said the former Royal Wolverhampton School pupil. "I did a pantomime when I was little, but I've never done anything like this." The show is made up mainly of music with a little bit of acting. "To get ready for the tour, I've had to learn the songs. It's different for me, as I normally only play acoustic, and this is all electric." For more information, visit www.staffordgatehousetheatre.co.uk.
A 73-year-old security guard was savagely beaten and left lying seriously injured for hours following an attack at a Brierley Hill factory. West Midlands Police launched an investigation after the guard was attacked by a man near an office inside Stokes Forgings, a metal factory in Vine Street. After discovering the man inside the factory, the guard was hit numerous times, leaving him with serious head injuries. He was later discovered by a colleague who started work later the same day, which caused the factory unit to be sealed off by officers while forensic inquiries took place. The security guard is now in a critical condition in hospital. Detective Inspector Colin Mattinson from Force CID said, "This was a sustained and violent attack on an elderly man. We believe he challenged a man found inside the premises, which led to the unprovoked attack taking place." The attacker then left the factory and the injured man was not discovered until 5 hours later. Inquiries are continuing and we are studying CCTV and carrying out forensic investigations at the scene. We are still trying to establish what the man was doing inside the premises and what, if anything, was stolen. However, a man has now been charged with attempted murder of the security guard who was seriously injured at the Brierley Hill factory. Lee Parsons appeared before Dudley Magistrates Court in connection with the attack on the 73-year-old guard at Stoke Forgings, Vine Street, on Sunday, March the 19th. The 44-year-old of no fixed address also faces an allegation of burglary. He was remanded in custody to appear at Wolverhampton Crown Court in April.
A landlord who flouted fire regulations and whose properties were said by a councillor to be in a shocking state of disrepair has been fined more than £11,000. Rakesh Sandy, sole director and shareholder of Northgate Dudley Limited, which rents bedsits in King Street, Dudley, was handed the fine by magistrates after charges were brought by Dudley Council's legal team. A building had been converted into bedsits, which were let to a number of tenants over the last 3 years, netting Sandy an income of more than £24,000 in a period about 15 months. Inspectors found the units to be filthy and dangerous, with disrespect for fire safety regulations. Sandy, of Vednam Road, Wolverhampton, pleaded guilty to 28 charges, the bulk of which related to failings in his duty as a manager to take safety measures, in particular in relation to keeping fire escapes free from obstruction and maintaining in good order and repair. Councillor Gay Partridge, Housing Cabinet Member, said afterwards, "We will not stint when it comes to challenging and prosecuting landlords who put their tenants' safety and very lives at risk. These properties were in a shocking state of repair." It was the second conviction for Sandy in relation to the King Street property, as he was convicted for similar offences in 2014. It is also Sandy's third conviction in terms of management of multiple occupancy properties, as he was convicted for similar offences for a different property in High Street, Dudley, in 2016. Wolverhampton magistrates fined him £400 per offence, totalling £11,200. He was also ordered to pay a victim surcharge of £40 and full costs of £1,936.65.
The notorious Shelby Clan are back for a fourth series of Peaky Blinders, which began filming this week. And if rumours are anything to go by, movie legend Samuel L. Jackson could well be starring in a future series of the Birmingham-based gangster drama. The American actor reportedly loves the gritty 1920s show, which has been a huge success in the US as well as in Britain. The new series looks to be no less dramatic than the previous three, as the show's star, Cillian Murphy, who plays the gang leader Thomas Shelby, has been seen darting around the streets of Liverpool, where most of the scenes are shot, gun in hand. Filming is due to take 4 months, with the crew expected to use the Black Country Living Museum, Dudley, in May, where the canal, rolling mill, stables and blacksmith's forge are used. Once filming is finished, Birmingham-based screenwriter-director Stephen Knight, who created the show, will oversee 3 months of editing, with the new chapter in the Peaky Blinders story expected to be aired on BBC Two in the autumn. The new series will take up the story from the police raid in last year's final episode, when three of the Shelby family were seen being led off by police. However, cunning Tommy avoided arrest, leaving fans to question what will happen to him and his sidekicks. Knight has indicated that Series 5 will be the last. We don't know for sure. We will see how we feel about it. Peaky is one of those things that everybody loves, and the response has been so magnificent on both sides of the Atlantic. The show, which also stars Helen McCrory and Tom Hardy, has many celebrity fans, including Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, and the late David Bowie, and Snoop Dogg. Samuel L. Jackson, who has an apartment in London and regularly visits the UK, said, "I want to do some British TV. I'd love to be in Peaky Blinders. That's a great show."
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
And bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Joyce.